There's a new neighbor in town. The Lutheran Federal Credit Union is open and ready to serve members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Lutheran Federal Credit Union provides checking and savings accounts, home, car, and personal loans, on-demand mobile banking, 30,000 ATMs, and 5,000 in the co-op shared network. You'll find the modernized banking experience you need with excellent customer service and security you expect at LutheranFCU.org. LutheranFCU.org.
So many times, non-college educated white males have voted Republican. They voted against their own economic interest because of guns, because of gays, and because of God, the three G's.
Those who portray themselves as victims soon come to perceive themselves as victims and eventually paralyze themselves as victims.
Miracles always are never the thing. In fact, miracles are always part of the support system of a message.
In an instance like that, you can just simply say, don't be afraid. These men have come here to take our lives, but they're too late. Our lives already belong to Christ.
Southern Illinois bird watchers love issues, etc.
I think it's the default worldview of fallen man, boiled down to its essence. I call it superstition. It goes by other names. One of the names we're going to be talking about here is karma. But what is it basically? That my decisions and my actions determine my destiny and my future. That I actually affect what's going to happen next. That the world is really just a big cause and effect machine. And I'm the cause. And the effects, well, if they turn out good, good for me. I get the credit. If they turn out bad, bad for me. I get the blame. But it's just me and cause and effect. We are born with this way of looking at the world in our fallen state. And it takes something as earth-shaking as God's word of law and gospel to shake us out of it. Some religions make a big deal out of this. We're going to be talking about karma, debt, works, and grace. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our weekly series, Worldview Watch, continues with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson, Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet, @issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues Etc. comment line whenever and wherever you listen, 618-223-8382. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is a regular guest. He joins us for our weekly series, Worldview Watch, to talk about karma, debt, works, and grace. He's pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Oaks, North Dakota, creative director of Worldview Everlasting TV, and author of the book Broken, Seven Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. Jonathan, welcome back.
Good to be on. Thank you.
Where would we ordinarily, kind of in an encyclopedia of world religion sense, where would we ordinarily expect to find the teaching of karma?
Right, like when you get your textbook with all the world religions kind of in their order, right, and they're lined up and they each have official teachings, karma falls under the heading of both Hinduism and Buddhism. And those two religions have an awkward relationship. They're connected to each other. Buddhism is in some ways not a religion as much as it is a philosophy, although it has religious undertones because of its connection to Hinduism. So it's in that Far Eastern religious motif that you find this idea of karma as the word karma popping up. But I would advocate, kind of as you said a few moments ago, you find karma in every world religion. It is one of the most common teachings that's out there, and it is one that the American conscience, I think, is increasingly struggling with. And you can see this in a lot of our film and movies.
Is it safe to say that it's simple cause and effect, just written into a very basic, primitive worldview?
Yeah, I mean, you've heard people say what goes around comes around, right? I mean, that's kind of a common phrase. And I remember being really enamored with a band called Sublime in the 90s, and the lead singer ended up dying of a drug overdose. But he one of their hit singles was him singing, "Let the lovin' go out and let the lovin' come back to me." This idea that if I just send out enough love into the world, that I'm going to have love coming back. And in this way, even you remember maybe a few years ago, you guys were up on this with the book The Secret, right? This power of attraction, the idea that I'm going to send out into the world something, action, emotion, choice, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do something, and it's going to come back. So if I do good, I'm going to get good. If I do evil, I'm going to get evil. And whether this is think positive thoughts and have a check come in the mail, or whether this is crawling around a dirt pillar on my hands and knees, as I've seen a Hindu do, in an attempt to sort of work off the evil actions of my conscience, it all comes down to the same ladder we've got to climb in the belief that we are masters of our own destiny by what we do, by works.
In its classic form, it is a debt-based system. There's talk about karmic debt, in which bad actions accrue to your debit that needs to be paid off, or good actions accrue to your credit that help balance out the debt that you are working on. That's awfully close, but so very far away from a notion of sin, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's got something really right about it, in that we recognize that we are not our own, and that what we do is somehow related to this higher power that has made us to do one thing. And when we don't do that one thing, we do a different thing, there's an owedness. For the Eastern religion, though, this is all in a very different context. It's in the context not of good and evil so much as of balance. So for them, it's always about things swaying one way and then swaying back, so you're always getting this balanced between, as opposed to our understanding of there being this permanent good without evil that was made that now we have broken, we have cracked it, and our debt is owed against that crack and the consequences of that decision. So, yeah, exactly. It is right and wrong at the same time. And yet, when it comes to diagnosing what's so wrong with us, and as we're going to listen to a couple of clips here, the way that these individuals in this story deal with their debt that they're talking about, it is very much dealing with the conscience that is all at the heart of what Christianity is about, the internal spirit of mankind that knows my evil does not go unnoticed by something, whether it's the universe or the Almighty God.
Before we hear the examples you brought for us, they're from a Netflix series, Marco Polo. And how would you introduce just the general idea to us?
Right, Marco Polo is a Netflix produced series. The online video streaming company has been making TV now for a couple of years. And I've been watching this show particularly with my wife in the evenings. It's definitely a for adults show, and maybe even just this season got a little gratuitous, a little bothersome in that. But it's a really, really character driven show. It's got 5 stars as a result of that. And you have this young man, Marco Polo, historical figure, right? It's some mythology around him. He wrote a diary, but he is definitely fictionalized in this story. But he is abandoned by his father in the court of Kublai Khan, the grandson of the great Genghis Khan, who had helped the Mongols conquer much of northern Asia. And Kublai is sort of the heir to this dynasty. And the story revolves around Marco's attempt to survive in this court of Kublai. Kublai is a character that is very, very easy to like, and he's a king who does these evil deeds. And a lot of intrigue and these kinds of things going on. But the clips, and I don't want to give away too much of the story, you should go watch it. It's really good. But the clips are now dealing with the sons of Kublai, one his actual son by blood, one an adopted son from some people that he had as a warlord conquered and actually murdered a lot of them. They are both lost. They have been ambushed by an enemy, and one of them has broken his leg. So no one knows where they are. They're out on the steppe, and they're in jeopardy. We're afraid that they might die. And the mother of the son by blood, she is struggling to come to terms with this reality, and she's also done a couple of rather wicked deeds just recently. She's got some intrigue of her own, and she's afraid, and you can hear this a bit, she's afraid that what's happening to her son is a result of her own deeds done to others, particularly a murder that she is connected to. You're going to hear her wrestling with that, and you're going to hear the Buddhist monk who's sitting there with her, and the best answer that he can give.
Om Mani Padme Om. Om Mani Padme Om. Om Mani Padme Om. Om.
They say grief is hardest on focus, but I'd say fear is worse, uncertainty of an outcome.
You have borne no children. You know nothing.
I know of suffering.
What could a child such as yourself know of suffering?
We measure age not in years, but in lifetimes.
And in all your lifetimes, how long has it taken for your karma to catch up with you?
The nature of karma is that it comes when it comes, at just the right moment, exactly when one is ready to heed its message.
And if one heeds the message, makes recompense, can the karma be changed?
For every action, there is a ripple sent through time. One cannot escape one's karma.
Pastor Fisk, explain that to us, if you would.
Yeah, so she is struggling again, right? Her conscience is bothered by what she knows she's done in the past, and she's gone to religion to try to fix it, right? And she's looking for peace, so she's chanting the mantra, trying to find solace in all of this, and she begins asking him, you know, is it possible for me to undo my karma? And in one sense, he's going to say yes in a moment, but his initial answer is quite awful. It is that your actions have unavoidable consequences, spiritually and cosmically, which will catch up to you eventually. And so if you have unbalanced the scale of good and evil in the direction of evil, even a little bit, you can run for lifetimes. You can run through various incarnations of your soul in time and space, and yet your karma, your debt, remains. You can't escape the debt of what you've done. And what jumped out at me as I'm watching this is, right, and I'm like, my debts are nailed to the cross, right? I'm almost screaming at the screen. I got debt, but my religion isn't one that says my debt is something I must face alone. And there's more I want to say on this, I guess. You know, in Romans chapter 2, St. Paul talks about this natural law idea, that the law of God is really his design of the world, which we're in rebellion against. And it's built into the nature of us so much so that we can't escape it. So he says this. He says, when the Gentiles, that's the nations, anybody who's not a Jew, who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness. And so in this American life we're living, where we're seeing the destruction of truth and the rise of these agendas, these political agendas that have decadent morals and all this, something that's still going on behind all of this is the American soul is wrestling with our consciences. As much as we try to tell ourselves that we can do whatever we want to do and it won't have any consequences, we know that it will deep down inside. We become a law to ourselves, and our consciences begin to accuse us. And you see this not, I don't think, just in Marco Polo. I think you see this in a lot of our different media, where these characters are asking, am I good? Am I evil? Which one is it? I watch what I'm doing here, and the good I would do, I don't do. How many of our heroes now are dark heroes trying to overcome or escape who they know they are? Maybe this is, I just watch too many Netflix shows, not enough primetime TV, but it seems to be showing up again and again. It's there in Jessica Jones. It's definitely there in House of Cards. Who is the person that does evil, and what does that come back to do against them? When then our Lord, Jesus, teaches us to pray as Christians something very different than the law that accuses me is the final word. He teaches us to believe that we do have debt. There's no question. There's this debt that's here, and we have it in a more real sense. But we don't have the law just written on our hearts. We have it revealed. We have the fullness of the commandments that condemn us. And he tells us to come before God Almighty, not before the universe, not before the cosmos, before God Almighty, and to say, "Our Father, forgive us our debts." To recognize this, in key to Christianity is knowing I'm not good enough to escape my karma. My karma is going to condemn me. So I go to the one who has the power to make it go away, and I ask him to do so, right? Even as then he teaches me to forgive the karma of others. And I quoted Paul from Colossians 2 again earlier, "You who were dead in your trespasses and sins, God made alive, forgiving those trespasses, those debts, canceling the debt, nailing it to the cross." To just see and imagine that in that body of Jesus nailed to the cross is all the wicked karma, not just of me, but of the entire world. And this poor empress sitting there looking for answers, and the best answer that she's going to get is, first, nope, you can't escape any of it. And then when she's going to press him in a moment here, you're going to hear him say that, you can climb out with a whole lot of good works.
Pastor Jonathan Fiske is our guest. We will hear more from the Netflix series Marco Polo. We're talking about the postmodern obsession with karma, debt, works, and its lack of knowledge of the answer to all of those things. That is the grace of God. It's Tuesday afternoon, August the 2nd. Our weekly series, Worldview Watch with Pastor Jonathan Fiske, continues after this.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Does your confessional Lutheran nonprofit or church need a new website? Let WordSites help you for free. WordSites is a volunteer-led group of technology and marketing gurus who have come together to help their fellow Lutherans. With the support of an effective website, you can clearly proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in. To submit your organization for consideration or to learn more, visit WordSites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website, reformed.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
A biblical woman doesn't live for herself. She lives according to the word of her Savior and at the mercy of her Heavenly Father.
Adrian Dorr-Hines, speaking at the 2016 Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference.
She holds Christ to his promise that he will forgive her on account of his cross, and she moves forward in faith, trusting that she will care little for herself and a lot for her Lord and for those that he has placed around her. She is both humble and hardy, an armchair theologian, and a discerning believer. She cares for her home and her husband, her children and friends, and she knows that this work is not always glamorous.
You can listen to Adrian's presentation, Making the Case for Biblical Womanhood, on an audio DVD from the Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. Find out more and order by clicking the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our weekly series, Worldview Watch. We're talking about karma, debt, works, and grace. Pastor Jonathan Fiske is our guest. Before we go on, Jonathan, why don't you tell us about the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August, written by a mutual friend and colleague, Pastor Brian Wolf Miller. The book is called Has American Christianity Failed?
Yeah, you know, Brian is a guy who really has, and you know, we have him on as a guest regularly, a finger on how to ease consciences and how to kind of distill ideas that might be big, wide-ranging ideas, very complex ideas, down to a very simple set of statements. And so what he's done is he's brought both his history as a former evangelical before he was a Lutheran, and then his understanding or watching of the evangelical world today, he's brought that into kind of conflict with the conscience and the Christian heart, and begun to ask some real good questions, categorized or framed within the catechism itself as truth, and kind of poking at, you know, why are we teaching this when the Bible says this and it brings such comfort? And so I highly recommend it. My wife also got a preview copy and read it as well, and she thought it was just phenomenal. I guess maybe this is a backhanded compliment, but she said, you know, it does, Jonathan, it does everything that your book does without being so weird. So, you know, if you thought Broken was a little too bizarre with the Star Wars and all that, Brian's going to do the same thing at a way where he's just going to lavish you with the comfort of the gospel.
It's The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed, by Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Has American Christianity Failed, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August. Jonathan, what are we going to hear next from the Netflix series Marco Polo?
All right, so we're gonna have the last line that we left off with that's going to be spoken again as she is trying to find out, is there a way to escape karma? Is there a way to escape my debt? And he tells her basically no, but then she's going to press him a little bit, and she's gonna threaten him even. He's going to give a different answer, which, go figure, you know, if it isn't the fatalism of there's no hope for you other than, you know, kind of constant balance and reincarnation, then the only hope that remains must be that opinion of the law, the opinio legis written on man's heart, the greatest false religion in the history of the world, as Francis Pieper calls it, the heart of all false religion. That's the best the monk's going to come up with here.
For every action, there is a ripple sent through time. One cannot escape one's karma.
If you do not wish to become a eunuch, stop speaking your riddles.
Then again, I suppose one can change it.
How?
Learn compassion. Carefully imagine how others feel. Put yourself in their circumstances and practice kindness from that day forward.
That is it?
It will change your karma now.
All right, so what was that second answer?
Right, so his second answer, which is kind of ironic, right? He really capitulates his religion. He's like, yeah, there's no way to do it. And she's like, you know what, I'm going to beat you up. He's like, oh, well, then again, be a good person, right? He kind of falls back on it. But his answer is, love people. You know, if you just work hard, be nice, you can then put one hand after the other on the rungs of this ladder of undebting yourself, and slowly climb your way back up to the balance where you don't have bad things happen to you anymore. Remember, this is all in the context of she's afraid her son is going to die. And so she's trying to find a way to stop that punishment from coming. And she runs off to go start trying to do some nice deeds right away so that her son can be found and be brought back. What you have here is, again, the only religion of natural man, which is to believe that we can manipulate the gods by what we do. That somewhere up in the sky, or maybe in the realm of science, there is a superpower that if we can just get the right information, the right emotion, or the right set of works, we can manipulate it and become like gods ourselves, painting our own future and having the world do what we want it to do rather than what we see it doing. And the only answer that our religions give to this is climb that ladder of good works. Climb it, climb it, climb it, climb it. And when you're about to die, keep climbing anyway. As opposed to, right, Christianity has this totally radical answer. Has nothing to do. We were like, yeah, there's a ladder, and there's no end to the ladder. In fact, you know, you're gonna cut your own feet off before you get to the top. What you need is not a ladder. What you need is a savior. What you need is not works. What you need is grace. You need forgiveness. And so, you know, Paul speaks of this so clearly in Galatians chapter 2. He's talking about justification, this big four-syllable word that scares everybody. It's such a beautiful word. Innocentification, to make you beautifully good again. This happens. To be made beautiful, to be made good, is not done by us. He says, we ourselves, even as Jews by birth, we know that a person is not justified, is not made good by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus. Justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law. By works of the law, no one will be justified. And to recognize that our debts are so great, the hole is so deep, that we actually aren't experiencing the full fruit of what we deserve. God stayed his hand from the wrath that we deserve. Our debt is piling up, and then the wrath hasn't even fallen out yet. That'll happen later. More so, he also teaches in Galatians that all who rely on the works are under a curse, that the more we try to climb this ladder to get out, the more we curse ourselves by binding our consciences to a hope that must disappoint us. Yeah? As opposed to having this one man, Jesus, who, as I said before, takes the entirety of the karma, all of the debt, and he pierces himself with it, right? Bleeds it out of his own body, and actually loses his spirit to it, being encompassed in the real consequence, the death of humanity, which, by virtue of his being more than just humanity, can't contain him, right? That the debt is lost in him, in his grave, and he comes forth the cursed man who took the dead karma on the cross and buried it there and walks out again now alive with more karma than he can possibly give away in the good sense, right? A total forgiveness that can wipe away everything, that can again justify, make straight, clean, purge, undebt, make innocent you, right? Me, all Christianity, all mankind as a total gift, right? Not to be earned, not to be climbed up to, in fact, to be just given away for free. It's nearly unbelievable, and in the sense that many people won't believe it. They refuse to. We prefer to go back to our vomit and climb these ladders. And as we watch American culture continually unhinging itself from our Judeo-Christian roots, it's not like we were preserved from works righteousness during that time, but you know, we think that maybe we're going to leave behind the legalism of that, the staunch Puritans. But what you find, you get into these Eastern religions, it's just as legalistic and maybe more so, because that karmic fate, it has no escape. Coming back as a butterfly in the next life is not a good news kind of situation, if that's the best that you can hope for. And worse, if you know, as your conscience will accuse you by the end of your life, if you know you've got some real debt that's not going to bring you back as a butterfly, but maybe as a toad, right? Maybe as a worm, or maybe as something from a lower realm. How horrid that religion is, when we have the one man who has risen from the dead and fixed it all in his own body and blood.
But in a sense here, and finally, Jonathan, without Christ, you might as well opt for Hinduism, because at least the Hindus understand that the debt is so great, your one life can't pay for it. You're going to have to live this life over and over and over again, perhaps for all eternity, to work out your karma if there is no one all-sufficient sacrifice in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, I think I'd opt for Buddhism over Hinduism, because you got a little more of that stoic, it doesn't matter edge to it. You know, the Hinduism is such a broad thing, and it ranges all the way from like rank paganism to the sort of more philosophical edge we're talking about. But your point is well taken. It's like, look, I mean, if we're going to be dealing with the awareness that there is good and evil, and that my actions have consequences, don't you want a religion that actually has some real understanding of consequences, as opposed to the saccharine, fluffy Americanism, which is trying so hard right now to make whatever I want a good work, right? What are you supposed to do? Oh, whatever your heart desires, right? And we're just trying to ramrod my passions into good works. Yeah, I'd take Confucian Buddhism any day, where at least he's going to get love your neighbor right. You know, so that my conscience may not be perfectly clean, but I'll be able to have some good reason to justify myself before men. But Todd, you know, frankly, before I would do that, I think I'd kill myself. I really would. I couldn't take what this world is, eyes opened by the law of God to it. If there was no hope in Christ, I'd rather just get shot than try to live in this futility without the looking for the life of the world to come and the forgiveness, the knowledge of cleanliness, the knowledge that God isn't mean. You know, he prefers to love. He desires to fix. He hungers to save. Oh, what a foundation to stand on for your daily life.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Oaks, North Dakota, creative director of Worldview Everlasting TV, author of the book Broken, Seven Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. You can purchase this book and find out more about Worldview Everlasting TV at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jonathan, thanks for being our guest.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Folks, you can listen to Pastor Fisk's teaching, Making the Case for the Lord's Prayer, on an audio DVD of this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. You'll also find presentations by Chris Roseborough, Brian Wolfmiller, Adrian Dorr Heintz, Larry Rast, Carl Fekencher, and Will Whedon. We will send it to you for a suggested contribution of $300 to Issues Etc. Find out more and order by calling 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, or at issuesetc.org. More than 8 hours of teaching, preaching, and singing on an audio DVD of the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. When we come back, the last half hour, we will spend with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel teaching a Sunday school lesson. We'll be over the last chapters or so of the book of Genesis 37, a little bit farther on, all the way to the end of the story of Genesis that ends with the story of Joseph and Joseph forgiving his brothers. Stay tuned. Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30. Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.